Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Welcome to Suffolk Matters, where all of Suffolk County meets the men and women of Suffolk AME. News, opinions, and insights you won't hear anywhere else. Filling in for AME President Dan Levler, here's your host, AME's Chief of Staff, Ryan McGarry.
Good morning to our listeners. This is AME Chief of Staff, Ryan McGarry, filling in today for AME President Dan Levler. With us today is Beth Essex and April DeVoe. They're bacteriologists in the Suffolk County Medical Examiner's Office. Beth, April, thank you so much for joining us today. We look forward to talking to you, especially after two Newsday stories coming out about some of the water quality at our local county beaches. But before we get into any of that, I want to thank you for serving the public, using your talents, your expertise to help protect our health, keep everyone safe here in Suffolk County. And toward that end, what is a bacteriologist? What is it that you actually do?
A bacteriologist is another name for a microbiologist. So we're looking for microorganisms in the water, in the beaches, in the environment, essentially, that would indicate that it's not safe for people to consume it or be there or recreate in it.
Okay. And why would it not be safe to bathe in it, recreate, or consume?
We are looking for indicator bacteria, which broadly indicate the presence of something else that we can't as easily test for. So what we're really looking for is the presence of bacteria commonly found in poop, animal poop, human poop, bird poop, all kinds of poop. It shouldn't be where we're recreating or drinking, because there could be other things in it that are worse than poop bacteria, like viruses that aren't as easily tested for. So we look for this broad category of bacteria that shouldn't be there. And when we find them, we make the broader assumption that there's probably or could be worse bacteria and viruses there that could be much more harmful to people.
That would thrive in this fecal matter.
That would be present with it. So it's easy to test for this broad group of bacteria called coliforms and fecal coliforms particularly. But there's other things like cholera and Shigella and Vibrio, and they're really hard to find by themselves. But the number of poop bacteria that are shed when someone has a movement, it's huge. But the number of viruses required to make you sick is actually really small. So by looking at the presence of this highly prolific amount of bacteria, we can look and say, you know, there's 16,000 fecal bacteria here. There might only be 6 or 7 cholera bacteria or Shigella bacteria here, but those 6 or 7 could really make you sick. So we always err on the side of safety. We look at the numbers of indicator bacteria and go, this isn't good. They themselves might not hurt you, but there could be other stuff in there that might.
Oh, absolutely. I think every listener would agree when it comes to fecal matter contaminants.
Yeah.
let's err on the side of safety before we consume it or jump into it and splash around in it. But no, it's a fascinating field. What are the qualifications that both of you needed to undertake or receive before you could get this job?
Well, with the county, we you have to have a degree, basically a science degree in any of the natural sciences. Okay. And they require a certain number of, 16 credits for chemistry.
Mm-hmm. You need microbiology.
And you need microbiology to be in our section.
Cell biology.
Regular biology.
Yep. So heavy chemistry, heavy microbiology, heavy biology.
So you need these qualifications just to become eligible for the civil service.
You have to take the test.
Exam, you take the civil service exam, and then both were
hopefully
hired.
Pass it. Yeah.
Now, speaking of you both, there's only two of you. Is this correct? There's only two analysts who do what you do.
And true story.
You're responsible for testing the water quality of approximately 190 beaches in Suffolk County, and as well as our drinking water?
There's actually more beaches than the 200. There's like 210, 220 that are Not all of them are official, but they've asked for testing. Yes, we test 200 plus beaches. We test many sewage treatment plants because we're on an island, so many of them are sitting on the coast. We test all of the embayments around Suffolk County, so Great South, Mauritius, Shinnecock, Huntington, Stony Brook. We test out at Fisher's Island. We test the Peconics. We test them for the presence of not just bacteria, lots of nutrient indicators of environmental trouble. What else do we test? We test bottled water.
We test,
if it's wet, we say the joke is if it's wet and can form a puddle, it's coming to us.
Now, so that's a lot of work. How do you handle the workload between only two of you? And is that throughout your careers, has that been about the size of your work population? Has it been larger, smaller? Or has it always
I've been here just under 10 years. And okay. It's just always been just us. Because we say we work, what do we work? We work 12,
so
and then 12 we're off
on,
two.
And two off. So we alternate every weekend and every holiday. BACT is staffed 7 days a week. Wow. There's only about 5 days a year that it's closed.
It's usually maybe Christmas when we want to be home with our families.
No. Christmas and Thanksgiving is what we beg for. Well,
but
and
if there's an emergency,
always happen
we've been there on Christmas Eve. We've been there on Christmas Day, Thanksgiving.
So many of our AME members like yourselves are working the holidays, making sure essential county operations are continuing. The work you do, making sure our residents here are safe. So we can't thank you enough for your dedication, your expertise, and what you bring to the residents of the county. And toward that end, I'm just curious, what drew you as folks with a science background, what drew you to public service as opposed to the private sector?
I have a long drawn out story, but no.
Please.
I don't have a background in micro or anything like that. I actually went to school to be a funeral director.
Very interesting.
And then turned my sights on toxicology, crime scene, things like that. Did all my schooling and everything. I actually did an internship in the lab with Beth.
On maternity leave.
Yes, there's another April in our hallway, and she was on maternity leave, so we confused a lot of people. and then kind of just kept in touch, and Beth had contacted me. Hey, we're looking for a bacteriologist, and I said, sure, why not? Because it was a science thing. I mean, just general science I was interested in. So as long as it was science, I was happy.
And she was partially trained, so I was thrilled.
Yeah, especially as a toxicologist. That's another important field.
Yeah, there's a lot of overlap in all of the sciences. So bacteria make antibiotics. They make drugs. They make things that make them resistant or push other bacteria away. So her background, helpful sometimes, especially with all the medications that we're finding in the drinking water. Antibiotics that get flushed down the drain, they could be killing off healthy bacteria in the sewage treatment plant. There's all kinds. It's a big cycle that has lots of fingers in it.
No, it's fascinating. And Beth, how about you? Were you drawn to public service in particular, and any reason why?
My family is a family of nurses and soldiers.
Okay.
So my mom's a nurse. My dad was a soldier. My sister and brother are in the Air Force. My dad said that this is my dad's words, I was too smart to go into the Army, so I was the one that got to go to college. And when I was in high school, I read a book called The Hot Zone, which they made it into a movie, but it was about virus hunting and a pseudo-Ebola event that happened in the United States. Once I read that, I was hooked. I knew that I wanted to do microbiology, and I knew that with my family background, it's what we did. We were public servants.
Serving the greater good, keeping us all safe in one way or another.
In one way or another.
No, fantastic. Thank you very much. For our listeners today, I'm Ryan McGarry, AME Chief of Staff, filling in for President Dan Leveler. With us in the studio, Beth Essex, April DeVoe from the Medical Examiner's Office, and they are bacteriologists doing a fantastic job keeping all of us here in Suffolk County safe by making sure the water we consume, the water we play in and recreate in is all safe and free of contaminants that would otherwise make us extremely ill. So we thank them for their service. So we talked a little bit about the fact that, with the exception of maybe 5 days a year, you folks are always working. What is the daily workload like in the public and environmental health lab?
Well, I mean, for BACT, because I mean, there's in the lab itself, we have a whole bunch of basically chemistry laboratories that test everything else. So everybody's always, busy. With BACT, though, our samples, we have to plant them or analyze them within 6 hours of them being collected, which puts, you know, a deadline on a lot of things. So when we come in the morning, the first thing we're doing is the drinking waters that were dropped off yesterday, like Beth did this morning.
Because we have 30 hours on those. Yeah. Those are the only ones we have 30 hours on. So yesterday we got 30 drinking waters. Yesterday we got 55 new beaches. We got 17 what are called MPNs, which are a different kind of coliform and fecal coliform monitoring test. So the 55 beaches and the 20-ish MPNs, those all had to be instantly analyzed, and they go for time. So MPNs go for 5 days. They have to be checked every 24 hours for 5 days. So by Friday, we could be in the process of 300 or 400 samples that have to be done on handled on Friday. So yesterday, I had yesterday's beaches that came in. I also had to read the beaches from the day before, and we've had that awful deluge of rain.
Absolutely.
Which means we test a lot more beaches because we know rain means trouble for the beaches. So we stay on top of it. We're proactive. We want to open them as fast as we can. So all week we've had a metric ton of beaches, 55 to 65 a day. And they are a two-day process, so planted one day, read the next, while more beaches are coming in, and those have to be read from the day before. It's an ongoing cycle. We could have our hands on 400 samples a day.
Wow, that's incredible. And two follow-up questions I have immediately from that. Number one, you're talking about samples coming into the lab. So I'm curious as to where those samples come from, who's collecting those.
That's our team we were going to talk about.
Yeah, we're a part of a big team.
We have... What's this, four sanitarians?
There's four regular marine ecology sanitarians that work in Yaphank, and they bring us we call them the marine samples. They're the bays and the creeks and the streams and the lakes.
And the beaches.
And the beaches. And they increase their ranks. They get four summer interns to help collect, so there's eight of them bringing in beaches to us. There's three or four wastewater sanitarians. They're working out of Yaphank also, I believe. We have...
Yeah.
A whole cadre of drinking water sanitarians for public and private drinking waters. There's probably six, seven or eight of them.
I think maybe six or seven, yeah.
So they physically drive out to sites. They have their little Coleman coolers, if anybody's ever seen them. They fill, for us, it's usually 125 milliliter bottles, but if they're collecting what we call a full suite, they're grabbing liters and liters of water in all kinds of bottles imaginable. And they have to have them back to our lab in Hauppauge by, we'd like them there by 3.
Sometimes a little later. We have groundwater that comes in.
Yep, groundwater goes and they drop wells because our drinking water is only 30 feet below where we're standing. So we have to keep a real close eye on that. And it's influenced by the bays and by the septic systems. It's a really complicated ecology we have here.
No, absolutely. And it's a huge county. I mean, I think
it's a huge county.
Huntington to Montauk, Orient to Babylon.
Amityville to Orient.
Yeah, that's what the beaches are Amityville and Orient. Yeah.
Yep.
It's a big spread.
We're like 1.49 million people, but we're 980 miles of shoreline.
Wow.
That's a crazy amount of shoreline. We have more beaches than I think only two other counties in the entire country. So I think Cape Cod County and Miami-Dade maybe.
It's incredible.
Yeah, they may be the only places that test more beaches or have more beaches than we do.
And there's two of you doing
that. And there's
testing.
Two of us.
That's fantastic. Thank you guys so much. And the other question I wanted to ask, is you mentioned it earlier, it's when it rains.
It pours.
When it rains, it pours. Our water quality, especially at our beaches, gets worse after heavy rains. For some people, that may be obvious. For others, maybe not so obvious. So just explain a little bit as to why that is.
The constant rain is good from a bacteriological perspective. Long, dry periods with intermittent rain, not so good. When we have a big deluge of rain, it's literally cleaning the streets. So everything that's been on the beach, on the sand, in the parking lots, on the bottom of your shoes, with more than an inch of rain, it runs like a torrent down into the low points of anything wet, any wetland. So the creeks, the streams, the lakes, and all of our beaches. So that's as easy as saying, you know, there's goose poop. Okay, that is a big bane of existence for a bacteriologist on Suffolk County. Goose poop gets washed into the water. Anything that you've tracked on your shoes to the beach, like dog poop from your backyard, or, you know, birds poop everywhere, raccoons, geese, deer, any animal, but also there's human animals. So there's diaper accidents at the beach, trash, just when people do the right thing and put their trash in the trash can, it kind of all gets washed down the sides and washes right into our waterways. Then we have sewage treatment plants, which are aging, and they do their job on an everyday basis, and they process millions of gallons of household waste. But when it rains and you add a billion gallons of water falling from the sky, they can't handle it. So that rushes through the sewage treatment plant and out into the bays. And if you can see a sewage treatment plant from a beach, don't swim at that beach. That's just common sense. But especially after a rain, don't do that.
Good advice. Good advice to our listeners. And now we're talking about sewage treatment plants and sewer infrastructure. We know that the Kern County executive and under his administration has done a great job of investing in sewage infrastructure and on-site advanced septic systems. So talk to me about cesspools and heavy rains and how that mixes into the water table and what you do.
Okay. So this, the aging septic infrastructure, you just said it's an aging infrastructure. So we have so many septic rings still, and these big deluges of rain add water to it and hydrostatic pressure, and it pushes waste down into the water table and kind of squeezes it out along the water flows. And we have a really great GIS team and hydrogeologists who work for the county. People probably don't know that we have hydrogeologists, and they know the ways that the water table moves beneath our feet. So when we get these big rains, think of Lake Ronkonkoma, all those little tiny bungalows out there that were supposed to be summer cottages for people from New York to come out and, you know, hang out by the lake for the weekend. Now there's so many of them. They're full-time residences. They've been blown up to have maybe six people living in them, and they're still on septic rings. So the area is already overpopulated, and then the septic systems are just kind of full just from having six people use them at a house, and then you throw a million gallons of rain in, and it has no place to go, so it goes to the lowest lying area, which is Lake Ronkonkoma. So we test Lake Ronkonkoma. I think we test it every day for beaches.
Incredible.
Yeah, almost five days a week at least. And we take beach samples on the weekends also. So when there's a beach closed, we test it till it's clean.
Right.
We don't want it to be closed.
Yeah. Yeah. No, rain is great for everybody else but us.
Dirty beaches. We do live on an island. We love our beaches. We want our visitors to come enjoy our beaches.
Absolutely.
So
we want to enjoy them as well. Yeah, so it's, you know.
Yeah, we're big proponents of the beach too. We live here. We love going to the beach.
It's good to know that you both are willing to enjoy our beaches.
And absolutely.
You know that when you're opening them and saying that the water is safe, that the water is safe, and you and your families are going right there as well.
Yeah. And if the beach is closed.
Not closing it just for, you know.
Yeah, that's
for the
more
heck
work
of it.
For us. When exactly. we close beaches, it's a lot of work for us.
Because you have to keep testing
them. Keep testing them until they're clean. So I think there was an advisory for 61 beaches. And usually the advisory will lift after about 24 hours after we've had two tidal cycles flush the area, and that should do it. Some places are a little murkier because of the way the shoreline is, or they have a marina next to them with a cladding on a pier that prevents flushing. We test and we test and we test until it's clear. And the day it's clean, we open them up as much as we can. We want clean beaches. We want beaches open.
No, absolutely.
It's less work for us.
And it's just so important for both our residents who want to recreate, as well as our tourism industry, which
absolutely.
Is one of our region's economy's biggest industries. We want folks coming and enjoying our beaches, and we're very grateful to have experts like you making sure that they are safe and clean and accessible to everybody. I mean, you just referenced, Beth, the 61 beach warnings that Newsday just reported earlier this week. Last week, they reported that 4 out of 10 beaches that are testing most positive for fecal contamination are here on Long Island. And their recommendation goes back to a little bit of what we were already talking about, and that is increasing water quality infrastructure and these on-site systems. Right now, I do know there's a legislative measure to put a water quality referendum on the ballot this November. There's one last shot to get that done. Just talking again, if you could reiterate, over 300,000 homes still on those antiquated, old-fashioned septic ring cesspools. So, yeah, not just Lake Ronkonkoma, but throughout the entire county, when you flush the toilet, it goes into a ring in your backyard. And when it rains heavily, what happens to that waste? It, as you said already, it kind of gets squeezed out into the soil and groundwater around the rim.
It can bubble up. It can it can move sideways. It can come. It goes straight down into the water table, and that ends up going to the wells that we drink from, which are really good at cleaning the drinking water we have. Our drinking water here is really, it's pretty good, and we test that thousands. We're already up to 900 samples for the month of July, testing samples at our lab between chemistry and bacteriology. Do you remember the movie Finding Nemo?
Oh, of course.
All drains lead to the ocean. Do you remember that? All drains lead to the ocean. So when you flush, no matter whether you're on a septic or whether you're in the sewer, that eventually is going to make its way to the ocean or the creeks or the lakes around us. It's just how water works. It's the hydrodynamics of our system. And with the water table so high, it pushes itself up kind of to clean itself. It's a self-cleaning system over time. So all water wants to go to the ocean. That's the best way I can explain it.
No, absolutely. And just all the more reason why we should be investing in water quality infrastructure, doing the right thing, and keeping our residents, our region, our health first and foremost in our actions. And again, my name is Ryan McGarry, AME Chief of Staff, filling in for President Dan Leveler this morning. And with us is Beth Essex and April DeVoe. And before we conclude for this morning, I do want to talk about, because you are AME members, you are union members, I just want to get your thoughts on what it means to be part of AME, what it means to have union representation.
I am grateful for the benefits that have been negotiated into contracts for us. I have used the health benefits more than I ever thought that I would. I appreciate having the time off that we do get. Like, I'm at the top end of the scale, so I get 16 vacation hours a month. If I could use them, that would be great. But I've had catastrophic illnesses, and I've had to take advantage of the half pay. I've had to take advantage of the generosity of my coworkers being able to donate time to me. And we've had safety issues in our building because we deal with chemicals, and there's waste issues and ventilation issues, and the union has helped facilitate repairs. When sometimes, you know, if you don't know how dangerous some of the stuff is, you don't know how important it is to the people who are dealing with it. So the union's been instrumental in helping us get some projects moved ahead a little quicker and some like cleanliness issues managed. We all worked during COVID. So our building, we're the Suffolk County Public Environmental Health Lab, and we operate within the medical examiner's office in the same building, but the medical examiner's office full tilt the whole time. We were... Yeah. Our sections were all open the full time because public health doesn't stop. So during COVID, we had to get some extra cleaning and extra help, and the union was really instrumental in getting that pushed forward.
No, absolutely. We were proud to have the ability to do that. I know one of the big things there that we were advocating, and I actually was honored to be tasked with from the executive board to go over to the legislature and speak on behalf of the importance of investing in a new ventilation system. You're talking about the chemicals that get used in that building. And it was a very antiquated ventilation system that was deteriorating because it wasn't adequate in the first place to deal with the chemicals that you and your colleagues are using to do your jobs every day. So it's, you know, when people think unions, I think they forget that it's not just about negotiating a contract or benefits or days off, but it's also about making sure our workers, our members are safe on the job, and that they can have the confidence to deliver the essential vital services that residents rely upon without having to fear for their own health and safety while doing that. So I do want to thank you both for being AME members, for being public servants, and working as hard as you do, especially since there is only two of you keeping us all safe.
We were all driving year long. Here, and we were thinking, you know, we're one car accident away from BACT being shut down because we were both
we
in the same car.
Please drive safely. Please drive safely. And then, like so many of our AME members, I know you both are involved with the community and really are committed. And Beth, we talked about this with your motivation to the public service field in the first place and giving back, serving the greater good. So many of our members, when they're not on the clock, they're still volunteering in their communities. I know you both participate in beach cleanups. You do some office collection drives to give back to charities. So even external to the work you're doing on a daily basis to keep our residents safe, you're looking for ways to give back to the greater community. I want to first thank you for that, and but also give you the chance to kind of tell our listeners a little bit more about those efforts.
Yeah, we usually do a collection box starting now till like Christmas time. Usually there's a different collection box in our office.
We swap it out every month.
Yeah. like currently right now we're collecting school supplies, and we give them to a non-for-profit called Branches of Long Island, and they serve the community. They have a food bank as well.
So we do that during Thanksgiving.
Yeah, Thanksgiving, we collect food for Thanksgiving meals. We have a lovely lady named Valerie. She does blankets for Buster, and we collect blankets and supplies for all the shelter dogs in New York State. She actually delivers it all
over. They kind
of
make it like a secret, a Christmas for the shelter animals, cats and dogs.
So there's always a box down in the main office, just
collecting blankets, various toys, beds, treats, and then we do, April and I sponsor, we Secret Santa dogs at the Brookhaven Animal Shelter, so we make a special Christmas for a dog or a cat in the shelter.
Maybe one day you'll let me join you. I'm a big fan of the dogs.
Let us know.
I have two myself. Would love to get out there. And then you also mentioned off-air that you go out to our local beaches and volunteer with beach cleanups.
Yeah, we've done cleanups at Smith Point.
Yep, because I live in Shirley.
I've done some beach cleanups
and that's
down there.
That's our main beach. Yeah. That's our preferred beach. We love Smith Point. We're there all the time. Not lately, and we're usually there after 5:30 and in September and October.
Because you're working so hard.
Because
we're
working so hard. Yep.
No, and we appreciate that work. It's funny. We just had Parks Commissioner Jason Smagan on last week, and Smith Point is one of our flagship parks. It's an absolutely stunning natural resource. We have camping, beachfront, the bayside.
Yeah, the bayside.
The new bridge coming.
Then finally, new infrastructure, needed infrastructure. So before I let you find folks go, anything you wanted to touch upon that maybe we didn't? I know we spent a lot talking about beaches and what you do in the summer to keep our residents safe, but it's an all-year round job. So what are you doing quickly, because we are running out of time, in those off months? That's not summer months.
Well, it's just non-summer months. It's not technically off.
Okay. That's my point. You guys are working
so
non-stop.
We're still doing the drinking waters year-round. We're still doing the sewage treatments year-round. We're still doing the streams. As long
round
as it doesn't
tide,
freeze over.
You've ever been to Smith Point when the water going over the bridge is chocolate milk brown? That's an organism called brown tide, and we are looking under the microscope and counting that up. We are catching up on the stuff that kind of had to be put to the side over the summer. It's really a 2.5-person full-time job from October to April. And then April to September, it's kind of a 3- or 4-person full-time job.
And we're lucky for the interns.
And we're very grateful for our interns. We have two of them right now holding down the fort. And they'll get, Duncan or something for doing a good job at that today. And we couldn't, it's a big team. I don't think people think about the number of people out there whose sole mission is to keep them safe, whether they know they need to be kept safe from something or not. We have a whole division of sanitarians, dedicated as we are, especially the marine sanitarians. They're on boats in thunderstorms, in the ice, in the middle of the wintertime. There is a lady named Nancy Pearson. We work every weekend. If we're working, Nancy does have her laptop open, and we're calling to say, okay, we sent the data, take a look at it, and she makes the determination of whether a beach can be open, closed, or has to be resampled. So she does, we joke that she works weekends too, she works from home.
No, but it is such important work. It's not just keeping us safe, it's also keeping making sure that our waterways, our bays, our ocean is safe enough for our marine life so that we can have a thriving we grow up here on Long Island. We have heritage industries like clamming and fishing, and if our water quality isn't up to snuff, then we're sacrificing these traditional heritage industries that mean so much to our region, both as a culture as well as our regional economy. So Beth, April, I want to thank you again for joining us this morning. We know how busy you are. We appreciate how busy you are. So we thank you for sacrificing 30 minutes to come in and speak with us. Again, I'm Ryan McGarry, AME Chief of Staff, filling in for AME President Dan Leveler. We thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next week.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.